Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive, this time on the Book of Jonah. You know, the one with the guy and the big fish. We're going to go a bit deeper than that, though.
Oh yeah, way deeper.
You guys wanted to know more about the Book of Jonah, what it really means, the different ways people interpret it.
And we have some really fascinating material to help us do just that.
We're using excerpts from a series of lectures by Dr. Marv Wilson.
He's a leading scholar of the prophets.
And his insights on Jonah are really thought-provoking.
We'll be diving into the historical context of the book,
exploring the different ways it's been interpreted,
and even looking at how Jonah prefigures Jesus.
Plus, we'll touch on the idea of missions in Judaism.
It's a lot to cover, but trust me, it's going to be fascinating, so let's dive right in.
So to set the scene, Jonah lived during the reign of Jeroboam II.
That's in the 8th century BC.
Just a few decades before the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom of Israel.
And sent those 10 tribes into exile.
Okay, so we're already talking about a pretty turbulent time in Israelite history.
Absolutely. This was a time of great upheaval and uncertainty.
And to make things even more interesting, Jonah wasn't just any prophet. He was from Gath Hepher,
which is right near the Sea of Galilee,
where Jesus would later preach hundreds of years later.
It's remarkable, isn't it, how both of these figures came from the same region?
It's almost like there's this thread connecting them across time.
It really makes you think about the significance of that particular place in biblical history.
Yeah, for sure. But getting back to Jonah's time, the region was under constant threat from the Assyrian Empire.
These guys were known for their brutality and military might. They were a force to be reckoned with.
It's no wonder people were living in fear.
It was a very different world than the one Jesus would later preach in.
And speaking of preaching, God calls Jonah to preach to the Ninevites, the people of Nineveh,
which was the capital of the Assyrian Empire.
Yeah, talk about irony. Here's Jonah, a prophet from a nation chosen to be a light to the nations, and he's called to preach to the very people who represent that terrifying threat. No wonder he wasn't exactly jumping for joy.
Yeah, you can understand his hesitation. I mean, these were the people who was oppressing his nation and threatening their very existence.
It's like being asked to go preach to your worst enemy.
Exactly. And Jonah's reluctance actually raises an interesting question. If Israel was meant to be a light to the nations, did they have any concept of missions like we see in Christianity?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Dr. Wilson actually touches on this in his lectures. He says there was a missionary impulse within Judaism historically, but it faced some serious roadblocks over the centuries.
So it wasn't like they were completely closed off to the idea of sharing their faith with others?
No, not at all. But there were definitely some challenges they had to overcome.
So what were some of these roadblocks that Dr. Wilson talks about?
Well, during the Middle Ages, Jewish missionary efforts were largely abandoned due to persecution and economic pressure from the dominant Christian world.
So it was kind of a survival tactic.
Exactly. They had to focus on preserving their own community and faith in the face of hostility and oppression.
That makes sense, but it's sad that something as positive as sharing your faith could become so fraught with difficulty.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it's a reminder of how complex history can be and how different forces can shape religious beliefs and practices.
But getting back to Jonah, so God tells him to go east to Nineveh, but what does he do?
Oh, he runs away. Of course, he hightails it west, instead tries to get as far away from Nineveh as possible.
And then, of course, comes the part everyone knows, the giant fish.
Right, the big gulp.
Now, it's important to remember that this story, with its fantastical elements, has sparked a lot of debate over how to interpret it.
For sure.
Some folks see it as pure fiction, a made-up story with a moral lesson. Others view it as an allegory or parable representing something else entirely.
It's kind of like trying to decode a dream, right?
Yeah, exactly. But Dr. Wilson makes a really interesting point. He says these different interpretations shouldn't shake our faith.
They shouldn't make us question the Bible's authority or relevance.
Instead, he says they should encourage us to think critically.
And recognize that our own understanding of the Bible might be different from what the text actually says.
It's a good reminder that we don't have all the answers.
And that's okay. It's part of what makes studying the Bible so fascinating.
It's like this ancient puzzle box. Every generation seems to find new ways to engage with it.
That's a great way to put it, and it's something we need to keep in mind as we continue our deep dive into Jonah.
For sure, because it's not just about the fish, it's about so much more.
It really is, and we'll get into that in more detail in our next segment.
Stay tuned, folks. Things are about to get even more interesting.
So where were we? Oh yeah, the different ways to understand the story of Jonah.
Right, like, is it just a fun story, or is there something deeper going on?
Well, Dr. Wilson points out that the Book of Jonah actually has two main purposes.
Okay, lay them on me.
First, it shows God's love for all nations, not just Israel. And second, it foreshadows Jesus' mission.
So it's not just about one prophet in one city.
No, it's much bigger than that. Jonah's reluctance to go to Nineveh actually highlights how God's love is way bigger than just one nation.
Hmm. I get what you mean. Like, God's love extends to everyone, even those we might consider enemies.
Exactly. It's like that line from the Gospels, I have other sheep that are not of this fold.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
And the fact that Jesus himself references Jonah's experience really emphasizes that connection. You know, how he compares his death and resurrection to Jonah's time in the fish.
Right, right. It's like Jonah's little adventure is a sneak peek at what Jesus would later do.
Exactly. It's an example of what scholars call typology, where stuff in the Old Testament hints at what's going to happen in the New Testament.
It's like there's this secret code running through the Bible.
You could think of it that way. But anyway, back to Jonah. His story challenges us to think about who deserves God's love.
Yeah. And are we willing to show that same love to people who are different from us, even to those we might not like very much?
It's a tough question, right? Especially in a world where it's so easy to just label people as good or bad, us versus them.
Yeah, for sure. It's much easier to love people who are just like us.
But Jonah's story reminds us that God's love isn't limited to any one group of people. It's for everyone.
I'm really starting to see Jonah in a whole new light now.
I told you this would be interesting.
You weren't kidding. Okay, so we talked about the historical context. We talked about the different interpretations.
And we touched on how Jonah's story foreshadows Jesus.
Right, but there's one more thing I wanted to bring up. Dr. Wilson mentioned that Jonah and Jesus had something else in common.
Aside from their geographic origins, you mean?
Exactly. He said they both performed miracles.
Ah, yes. Those powerful acts that showed God was at work.
So like in the Old Testament, we see God doing miracles through prophets like Jonah.
Right. Things like parting the Red Sea, sending plagues on Egypt.
And then in the New Testament, we see Jesus doing similar things like healing the sick, calming storms.
Exactly. It's like there's this thread of divine power running through both Testaments.
So you're saying there's a connection between the miracles performed in the Old Testament and the miracles of Jesus.
Absolutely. It shows how Jesus is continuing the work of God that we see in the Old Testament.
Makes sense. And it makes you wonder, are we supposed to be doing miracles too?
Well, that's a whole other deep dive, maybe for another time.
Okay, noted. But back to the miracles in Jonah. What are some examples of God's power at work in his story?
Well, think about the storm that God sends to stop Jonah from fleeing, or the plant that God provides for shade and then takes away.
Oh, yeah, those are pretty dramatic examples of God controlling nature.
For sure. And they show just how powerful God is.
And then we see Jesus calming storms, healing the sick, even raising the dead. Like, Jonah's story is a miniature version of what Jesus would later do on a much grander scale.
That's a great way to put it, and it highlights how the Old Testament can help us understand the New Testament even better.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about Jonah's story and its connection to Jesus, but what about the idea of Jewish missions?
Ah, yes, you're talking about what Dr. Wilson mentioned about how there was this missionary impulse in Judaism.
Exactly, but he also said it kind of faded away because of persecution and stuff.
Right, but it's interesting to think about whether there have been any attempts to revive that missionary spirit in modern times.
So are there like Jewish missionaries out there today?
Well, not exactly. I mean, it's not like you see door-to-door Jewish evangelists, but there have been some efforts to share Jewish teachings and values with a wider audience.
So like more of an interfaith dialogue kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. It's about building bridges and fostering understanding between different religious communities.
Makes sense. It's like trying to find common ground rather than trying to convert people.
Exactly. And that's something I think we can all appreciate.
For sure. It's all about spreading love and kindness, not division and hate.
Well said. And I think that's a good place to pause for now.
Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground in this segment.
We talked about the purpose of Jonah's story, its connection to Jesus, and even touched on the idea of Jewish missions.
And we've still got more to come. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
Okay. So to leave you with something to really chew on, if Jonah's story is about more than just God's love for one nation, I mean, what does that mean for how we see God's concern for all of humanity, even the people we might think of as enemies?
Wow. Yeah, that's a tough one. It makes you think about how we see the world and where we fit in.
Exactly. And it challenges us to think about how we can live out that same radical love and compassion in our own lives.
So it's not just about understanding the story. It's about letting the story change us.
It's about recognizing that God's love goes way beyond our comfort zones, beyond our borders, even beyond what we can grasp.
It's easy to say, love your enemies, but actually doing it, that's a whole other thing.
Absolutely. And that's where Jonah's story gives us some clues. Remember, he really didn't want to go to Nineveh at all. He had a million reasons why those people didn't deserve God's mercy.
The guys that told him to go?
Exactly. And when Jonah finally preached to them, you know what happened? They repented the whole city, from the king to the average Joe. They turned away from their bad stuff.
So maybe it's not about agreeing with everyone or saying what they're doing is okay. Maybe it's about recognizing that everyone, no matter who they are or what they believe, deserves God's love.
I think you're onto something there. It's about seeing people the way God sees them, not just with our own limited view.
Man, that's powerful. It makes me think about All the times I've judged people without even trying to understand them.
We've all been there, but Jonah's story reminds us that God is always at work, even in the most unexpected places and through the most unlikely people.
So what are the big takeaways from our deep dive into Jonah?
Well, it's definitely not just about a guy and a fish. This story goes deep. It's about God's mercy, justice, and mission.
Right, and Jonah's story points to Jesus's mission and the idea that God's love is meant for everyone, not just one nation.
And it challenges us to think about who we think deserves God's love and how we can show that same love to others.
It's a story that has stuck with people for centuries, and it's still relevant today.
It can shake us up and inspire us to live more compassionate lives, lives that are focused on others.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Jonah. We hope you've learned something new and are ready to go out and make a difference in the world.
Oh, Steve, yeah.